I understand John Sigerson has something interesting, important, entertaining even, and educational. He's very good at that, actually. I know a lot of people think that John is really, really good at this. You're really good at it, John. No, I mean, look, some don't know who are in the audience that John, Renee, and others authored a manual on tuning and registration. This was back in 1987-88. And today, when we're here, you notice we're not using this instrument. We're using this instrument. And he's going to tell you why we do that and why we refuse to use this instrument at its present tuning. John?
Well, that was a perfect setup, Dennis. I mean, really, really. Because, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to start out with, which is these two beautiful instruments here, Steinway instruments. Why are we not using them and we're having to use this poor little piano here? Although, very, very well done. The reason why is because these pianos are mistuned. They are tuned at the wrong pitch. Now, how can I possibly say that? You know, how can you say that something is the right tune and what is the wrong tune? Well, think about the way the oligarchy or the imperialists, as was discussed at the conference, work. When you can't completely destroy something, for instance, classical beauty, when it's impossible to destroy it directly by simply doing the kind of thing that was done in the Cultural Revolution in China, as we heard about, if you can't do it that way, what's the best way to do it? Why not inject something totally arbitrary into the mix and get the people who were involved in that to believe that, to accept something which is totally, an aspect of their art, which is totally arbitrary. And actually, in the case of the tuning, damaging and a block to progress and development of the of musical beauty. We took up the Schiller Institute took up this fight around this question of the right tuning during discussions that were going on in the 1980s with Lyndon LaRouche and a number of musicians, at the point at which also there was intense discussion around the work of Johannes Kepler and the question of why the orbits of the planets are the way they are. Is that also just something arbitrary, which is, as the oligarchical side of scientific so-called thought claims, there's a reason. There's an underlying reason. There's an underlying purpose for the way that the planets orbit the way they do. Well, the same thing, we had a working hypothesis, which then became confirmed over and over again, that indeed there is a proper tuning, which is the best and the most natural tuning in the same way that there's a best way that the planets are organized in their orbits. This happens to be a pitch which is around hertz, which is only an approximate measurement, that is cycles per second. You can measure it at around 256 cycles per second at middle C. That is our middle C here. Well, let's not do it there. Or our A at around 430 works out, or 430, 432. And as we began working through this, we discovered that this was an ongoing struggle which had really existed ever since the defeats of the suffered by the humanist factions in Europe after the Congress of Vienna in the 19th century, that there was an attempt at that point to introduce an unnaturally high tuning, under the argument that the sense certainty of the higher tuning, that is, the more greater brilliance, the greater amount of titillation of the senses, was the most important thing. And there was a lot of resistance to that, we found out, which culminated in Giuseppe Verdi's insistence, indeed his getting legislation passed in Italy, to say, no, the tuning has to be at this lower tuning. There are many reasons for this, not just for the health of the human voice, although that's an important aspect of it, because we found in our own work that the human voice functions better with its registers, because voices do have registration, especially when they're well-trained, and that the registration functions better, best, when the pitches are tuned at this natural tuning. And we approached many of the world's greatest opera singers who confirmed this to us, Piero Cappuccilli, Renato Tebaldi, then Carlo Bergonzi, who down in the Wild Hall there in Carnegie Hall gave in 1994, gave a demonstration of the lower tuning, and brought together most of the singing teachers in the New York area with the plea that we have to lower the tuning, otherwise we will never have great voices again in the world. But not only the singers, but then Mr. LaRouche also developed a friendship with Norbert Breinin, the famous first violinist of the Amadeus Quartet. And Norbert Breinin, after some doubts at the beginning, began to investigate this with his own Stradivarius violin. And after very serious investigations, including scientific tests of his Omobono Stradivarius, which I heard was just sold recently, that he found that this instrument resonated perfectly at the natural tuning of C256. And he demonstrated that in a concert given in Munich in 1988, which you can hear, you can listen for yourself on the Schiller Institute website. So it was that, and then also, and this comes to the music manual, this manual on the rudiments of tuning, which I collaborated on putting out. Actually, it came out in around 1991, I believe. But where we show that all of the great composers thought in terms of this tuning, in the way that they shaped the phrasing of their poetry. And you can read the manual itself. It's in a certain sense, it's almost too much evidence about this tuning. So everybody at that point agreed. I mean, we had every opera singer, even some orchestral conductors agreed. But as with the U.S. Congress, just because somebody agrees and says yes doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the action. And the action still remains to be done. We are going to continue to work at this tuning and encourage people to do it. I hope that eventually we'll be able to build an orchestra at this tuning. There was an attempt in Europe to do that about 10 years ago, which got sabotaged largely through these same networks that tried to push the tuning, high tuning, in the first place. But we won't give up. And what I want to do now is just give you a taste of that by having the chorus come up and demonstrate that by singing a certain piece, which I'll tell you about once the chorus is up here. The piece, of quite appropriately, is a piece from Verdi's opera, Nabucco, Nebuchadnezzar, which is known as the unofficial national anthem of Italy, because it is the chorus of the Hebrew slaves in captivity in Babylon. And I'll just read you the English so you know the words. Go, thought on golden wings, go, alight on the cliffs and the hills. where waft the warm and gentle sweet breezes of our native land. Greet thou Jordan's banks, the fallen towers of Zion. O my fatherland, so beautiful and lost. O remembrance so dear and fatal. Harp of gold of prophet bards, why hang'st thou silent from the willow? Rekindle memories in our breast. Speak to us of the time that was. Well, either harp, like Solomon to the fates, draws out a sound of harsh lamentation, or may the Lord inspire in thee an accord which might infuse our suffering with virtu. Virtu meaning virtue, not just virtue, but power. What we'll do first is we'll do it, we'll sing it at the proper tuning, and then we want to show you the difference when we do it in the other tuning. See if you can, I'm sure you'll notice the difference.
Oh,
said he knew exactly what he was doing when he wrote this in the key of F sharp major. I mean, why F sharp major? I mean, he could have written F or E or one of the easy keys, but why F sharp major? Well, it's very clear. He had this idea of the golden harps, the arpa d'or, because right at the arpa d'or, he has arpa d'or up there, right? Okay. Well, that's right at the what's called the passaggio or the register shift of the of both the soprano and the tenor voice, and he knew that if you raise the tuning a little bit too high for that note, it won't be golden harps. It will be maybe zinc harps or something. You know, and that's exactly what you will hear, because what happens is that there's a confusion that's inserted here. So that with the higher tuning, either you have to shout on that. As opposed to... It's a little bit low. You see the here, it's a little bit different. But if you have to shout it just a little bit too much, the effect is not the same. So either you have to do that, or you have to do what's called a register shift. We have... which is a different color. So you're left with the confusion. Let's see what the chorus does with the high tuning.
Oh.
Now let's go back and do it with the right tuning, okay? I really want to get this point across. Thank you.